Welcome to Money Sense, where we go beyond the numbers to help Canadians design a wealthier life. With host Brent Laux and trusted experts Kevin Hagedis and Andrew Roddick, partners at PWM Private Wealth Council and portfolio managers with Q Wealth. Whether you're preparing for retirement, designing tax-efficient income, or planning for future generations, financial decisions can be overwhelming. With a spotlight on pension-style investing strategies that prioritize long-term stability, Kevin, Andrew, and the PWM team will share their insights and perspectives to help you protect what you've worked a lifetime to build. Because effective financial planning should feel like laying a strong foundation. This is Money Sense.
Hi there, and welcome to Money Sense. I'm your host, Craig Sullivan, covering for Brent Laux this week. Joining me today is Andrew Roddick. Andrew is a registered portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners and a partner of PWM Private Wealth Council. He's a chartered investment manager, holds a master's degree in public policy, and brings a wealth of experience to his work with clients on their financial journeys. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Craig. Glad to be here.
Now, in light of all the headlines about artificial intelligence lately, AI stocks like NVIDIA, as well as other unique economic trends in technology and beyond, I think our listeners will really enjoy the topic of today's show, which is titled Investing in Ideas. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Andrew Roddick right here on Money Sense on CKOM. Welcome back. You're listening to Money Sense. I'm your host, Craig Sullivan, covering for Brent Laux. And joining me this week is Andrew Roddick, registered portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners and a partner of PWM Private Wealth Council. As I said before, he's also a chartered investment manager and holds a master's degree in public policy. So he brings a lot of experience to his work with clients with their finances and their journey. So we were talking right before the break about the topic of today's show, investing in ideas, all the headlines about artificial intelligence, AI, and AI stocks. So let's start there, Andrew. What do we mean by ideas and investing in themes?
Yeah, I think that's a really good place to start on this topic, Craig. I'm going to dive into one of the ways investors can access idea or theme-based investing, and we can discuss that shortly in terms of what we call thematic ETFs or exchange-traded funds. But when we talk about theme-based investing, really the concept and the focus is on specific forward-looking trends or themes rather than broad market sectors.
And when you say broad market sectors, you mean something like technology stocks, banks and financials, or energy stocks, for example? Those would be like broad sectors, I suppose.
That's right, Craig. Yeah. So thematic ETFs and broad market sector ETFs, they both offer more targeted investment opportunities beyond investing in a fund that tries to track an entire market like the TSX, the Toronto Stock Exchange, for example. But these ETFs, they differ in their scope and their approach. So sector ETFs, they focus on specific industries, and you were kind of alluding to that a little bit there, such as technology or healthcare, while a thematic ETF, it's investing in companies related to broader trends or ideas. And that can actually mean that those thematics span multiple sectors. So for example, a theme that includes both healthcare and energy stocks, and thematic ETFs, they can give investors targeted exposure to companies likely to benefit from these trends, whether they are technological advancements, maybe they're social shifts, or they could just be other major changes in the global landscape.
So let's explore that a bit further, Andrew. What other themes might people be thinking about when investing?
When considering thematic ETFs, investors are typically examining several key themes that align with current and future trends. And often it's because of things we experience in our day-to-day lives. You mentioned at the top of the show today, Craig, our prominent theme right now, and it's a headline theme, and that's AI and technology. And so particularly investments in, let's say, AI semiconductors and chips, and even AI infrastructure, you know, we're seeing that driving innovation across various sectors. Another significant theme is aging demographics. So we see lots of headlines about the baby boomer generation. So we have these themes of focusing on healthcare and wellness companies that maybe cater to an older population. Additionally, energy transitions, they're gaining traction. So we're starting to see ETFs that are targeting renewable energy sources and companies that are leading that shift towards sustainability in energy production. To even go a little bit further, you know, we've got notable themes when we're thinking about some of the emerging markets and where fast-paced economic growth is creating these exciting opportunities and infrastructure. Well, there's now these ETFs that are thematically looking at global investments in transportation and digital networks in North America and beyond. And then we've also even got changing consumer trends like the rise of e-commerce and digital entertainment. And so there's ETFs there. And it's really about companies that are adapting to these shifts and are being well positioned ideally for the growth.
You mentioned thematic ETFs or exchange traded funds earlier. So how can individual investors access these themes through them?
Right. That's a great question. And really the kind of the crux of how thematic investing has changed over the years. The rise of thematic ETFs has indeed offered a powerful way to invest specifically, in particular ideas or themes instead of choosing individual stocks. So these ETFs, they gather a collection of stocks or assets that reflect a certain theme. So going back to my earlier comments, you can have an ETF that focuses on companies in areas such as AI chips, maybe aging demographics or energy transitions. So by investing in a thematic ETF, investors are achieving exposure to a diversified group of companies within that theme. And that's without the need to pick individual stocks themselves. So this approach is allowing investors to participate in these dynamic areas with a little bit more ease and also the potential benefit of growth across those themes.
Right. So now, I'm not asking you to make any specific ETF or investment recommendations, of course, but for our listeners, could you provide some specific ETF names and the themes they aim to focus on? I think, you know, listeners would be interested to hear what's out there to invest in.
Certainly. And like you said, I'm not going to be making specific investment recommendations. Every investor's risk profile, their portfolio needs, those are all unique. But I'm happy to share some examples of thematic ETFs and themes they focus on. It'll allow the listeners to maybe go search those up and take a look at how they've performed and what they do. But just to give some examples, for instance, on the AI side of thing, there is a symbol folks can look up, CHPS or CHPS.TO, because it's Toronto listed. This is known affectionately as the CHIPS ETF from Global X. And Global X has built this to focus on the semiconductor industry, specifically companies involved in the production and development of AI chips. This ETF is really aiming to capitalize on the growing demand for AI applications and technology. It has NVIDIA as its largest holding, but investors who hold this ETF also have exposure to Broadcom, AMD, and other chip manufacturers. So you're getting this diversification across the theme, and it's potentially changing the risk and return characteristics of that AI investment versus, let's say, investing in a single company in this space. I was also talking earlier about the theme of aging demographics. So another example, the symbol for this ETF is AGNG, also from Global X. This one's listed on the NASDAQ exchange, and it focuses on aging demographics. So this ETF includes companies that provide healthcare, wellness, and other services catering to an older population. And so it's designed to benefit from the increasing demand for products and services that support an aging society. Currently, it has about 82 positions as of the last time I checked. And in addition to healthcare and pharmaceuticals, it actually has some real estate companies that invest in senior care lodgings and services, as well as some equipment and services for seniors in the aging population. And just to give maybe Craig one more example, again, the symbol for this one is XDNA from iShares BlackRock. And this one targets the genomics and immunology and healthcare sectors. When we think about this ETF, it's really trying to be at the forefront of what we call genomics and bioengineering innovation. And so it's aiming to capture growth in healthcare advancements and the long-term trends of advancement in these fields. So, you know, all these ETFs, you know, they offer investors ways to align their portfolios with those specific trends and ideas that are mentioned.
Right. Those are some great examples. Now, everybody hold that thought. And we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. I am Craig Sullivan talking to Andrew Rodick, registered portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners and a partner of PWM Private Wealth Council. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk more to Andrew on Money Sense. Welcome back. You're listening to Money Sense. I'm your host, Craig Sullivan, covering for Brent Laux this week. And I've been talking today to Andrew Rodick. Andrew is a registered portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners and a partner of PWM Private Wealth Council. He's a chartered investment manager. He's got a master's degree in public policy, and he has a lot of experience that we've been benefiting from today. So we were talking before the break. Andrew was giving some examples of exchange-traded funds, ETFs. Now, Andrew, it seems like the themes, you mentioned a few there, but it seems like these themes could be more or less endless.
Yeah, it really does keep going and expanding. Craig, there are defense and emerging defense technology ETFs. There's automotive innovation and electric vehicles. There's e-gaming and e-sports. If listeners are interested, the ticker for that one is clever. It's HERO, H-E-R-O, if you're curious about that one. iShares, they offer a global water ETF. Again, the ticker for that one, CWW. Additionally, there are now thematic funds that cover multiple areas. iShares has done some interesting work there. Ticker symbol XEXP, that's the iShares Exponential Technologies Index ETF, and it's aiming to capture the growth of companies leading in advanced fields such as AI, but also robotics and biotechnology. So it's kind of a merged thematic. So by investing in XEXP, you're actually gaining exposure to these broad ranges of innovation. Again, targeting future growth and where economies are going. So both, well-established tech giants and emerging innovators, but also providing maybe a more balanced way to invest in the transformation of these technologies.
So are the thematic ETFs a better way to access these investing themes compared to, say, individual stocks or single market positions? And I assume there are still risks.
Right. So thematic ETFs can be a preferred way to access specific investing themes because they offer a diversified approach to investing in those particular trends or sectors, right? No one way, though, I would say is generally better, but there are important trade-offs to consider. So instead of picking those individual stocks, investors can buy into the ETF that's bundling together these companies with a theme like AI chips or the aging demographics I was talking about earlier. So this diversification, it's helping mitigate the risk associated with investing in a single stock as the performance of the ETF is spread across those companies. But you also have to think about the trade-off. You might also have a chance to make gains where you wouldn't otherwise. To paraphrase an old quote, why struggle to find the needle if you can own the whole haystack? So if you like an idea or a theme, you're buying numerous companies within that idea through a thematic ETF, and hopefully that haystack contains the needle you are looking for. Now, you're maybe not getting all the growth of a single position, but you're getting some diversification. However, I also need to know it's important that thematic ETFs, they're still risk. So since they're focusing on specific themes, they often lack some of the broader diversification in a traditional ETF that is tracking an entire market index like the S&P 500, because that diversification will not only potentially be broader, it's a broader cross-section of the economy, but it's also across industry sectors. And depending on the ETF, you might be going across multiple geographies as well. So thematic ETFs, because of potential concentration, they can have a higher volatility, especially if the theme experiences market challenges. Additionally, the popularity of thematic ETFs can sometimes lead to certain overvaluation considerations. Are you driving into a trend where there is overvalue and you only have 30 or 40 positions? And so investors need to conduct their thorough research, and they need to consider their risk tolerance before they invest.
So, Andrew, in your portfolio management work, do you use thematic ETFs in client portfolios? And to make this a two-part question for our listeners, if you do, what strategy or approach do you consider?
That's a good two-parter, Craig, for sure. Yes, in my portfolio management work, I do use thematic ETFs in client portfolios. It's not across the board, and like everything we do, it depends on a variety of factors for our clients. But these ETFs allow us to tap into specific trends and sectors that align with our clients' investment goals and interests. And so we do use them where appropriate. When it comes to the strategy, we really consider several factors. First, we're assessing the client's risk tolerance and investment horizon, a time horizon, specifically to ensure the thematic ETFs align with their overall portfolio strategy. We may also consider specific uses in certain accounts. For example, a TFSA where the client is really trying to maximize growth, that might receive the majority of a thematic ETF exposure versus accounts where withdrawals are more likely or are already occurring and we don't want as much potential volatility. We also conduct thorough research on these ETFs. We're evaluating their underlying assets and holdings, their performance history, and their management. Who is the ETF manager and do they stick to mandate? Are they tracking a specific theme ETF index? Diversification within the theme is also crucial. So we look for ETFs that offer a broader exposure rather than concentrating on a few companies. A thematic ETF with only 10 names, for example, would be more than likely to be screened out versus one with 30, 50, or 100 names. And additionally, we monitor market trends and adjust the portfolio as needed to stay aligned with these evolving opportunities, but also evolving risks.
Just expanding on that information about your approach with thematic ETFs, on previous shows, I know you've talked a lot about diversification in portfolios, especially in relation to risk. So maybe to tie things together as we conclude the show today, can you remind our listeners about your thoughts on diversification? And I believe the concept was risk-adjusted returns.
Right. There are no free lunches in investing, but as we often share in presentations, diversification comes quite close. At Q Wealth, we manage client portfolios the same way we manage our own. We're focusing on what we call risk-adjusted returns. That's why we not only prepare financial plans to clarify the returns needed for a client's financial goals, but we also conduct risk tolerance questionnaires and we develop risk profiles based on the types of volatility each client is comfortable with. So we incorporate diversification across different asset classes and types within accounts and are preparing for different market and economic cycles, depending on what a client's risk tolerance is. Additionally, when we're considering thematic ETFs or approaches, we evaluate how they fit into the overall asset mix. And we're aiming to capitalize on economic themes, growth companies, or trends. But since thematic investing introduces specific risks, we also have to ensure there's diversification in other areas, which might include different asset classes and overall exposure levels within the portfolio, the time horizon for investing, how long you plan to hold these investments, and how that investment mix aligns with your needs and goals. Those are also key considerations.
Andrew, thank you for all the information you provided today on thematic investing and thematic ETFs. So, where can folks find out more, discuss their investment portfolios, financial plans, or address any other financial questions they might have?
We welcome them to visit our website at pwmprivatewealth.com, or always they can feel free to call the office to book an appointment or have a conversation at 306-975-9500.
Great. That's Andrew Rodick, registered portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners, a partner of PWM Private Wealth Council. As I said before, he's a chartered investment manager. He's got a degree in public policy. Thank you so much, Andrew, for spending time with myself and our listeners today.
Thank you, Craig. It was a pleasure.
That's it for today. My name is Craig Silliphant, and you have been listening to Money Sense on 650 CKOM. Financial planning services are offered through PWM Private Wealth Council. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. PWM Private Wealth Council is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership.